The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors for the 2024 49ers season. Help out his podcast, and we have rates as low as $75 starting just so you can advertise with us. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com and get started today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with DampRid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on DampRid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
When you look at the list of 49ers Kyle Shanahan staples, whether it's like these longest tenured 49ers, they've been here since Kyle. You talk about like Kyle Juszczyk coming in 2017, drafting George Kittle, then 2018 you get Fred Warner, and then 2019 probably the best draft year ever. Nick Bosa, Debo, Dre Greenlaw, even if you want to throw in Mitch Wisnowski. But I'm always in the back of my mind, like, you're missing one. There's one more in that 2019 era that never gets included, and that's defensive tackle Kevin Givens. He is one of the longest tenured 49ers still on the team and has contributed 4 consecutive quality years. Now, I think a big reason why he doesn't get included in that is he's not a starter. I understand that. And even his first year, he didn't really even play. So he's going into his 6th season, but it's only his 5th season accrued, right? Kind of like what the Juwan Jennings thing was, where sat out for a whole first year, then, you know, stepped up and played and contributed after that. Kevin Givens has just slowly climbed and made himself indispensable because Coach Kucerich loves him, absolutely loves this guy. So he comes in number 35 on our list. And with all the turnover in the defensive tackle room, Kevin Givens, that dude is still there. He's become a pillar. And back-to-back years, over 400 snaps defensively, he has achieved that status. Now, He's been with the Niners for a while. When we first did our countdown in 2022, he was number 51, kind of on that roster bubble. Last year, 38. This year, 35. It just keeps climbing. Just slow, steady growth. And he fulfills a role on this defense. Got to give credit to my man, Josh, executive producer of today's show. And let's dive into Kevin Givens, who he is, what his background is, all those things. He wears jersey number 90. You see him out there. He's one of the smallest defensive tackles we have by a long shot, 6'1", 285. And he plays that undersized slasher role where he just messes stuff up. And you know, I've always said this about Kevin Givens. He's matchup dependent. He has a good game or he has a bad game. Not a lot of average games. And, you know, whenever he plays against those big boys, he usually does pretty good. But when he plays against smaller, more athletic teams, he loses his advantage a little bit. He's 27 years old, ran a 5.08 40. You look at his bench press reps, 32 bench press reps. That's top 87th percentile. So smaller arms, a little short, stocky, fast. Strong. That's what he is. His comps, Maurice Hurst, the 49ers got a type. They got the big plugger role that they call the DJ Jones role. They, you know, the bigger guys. Then they have the small slasher role. And Maurice Hurst, you know, Kevin Givens, those type of guys. Johnny Newton, who was drafted this year. I know a lot of Niners fans liked him. Ed Oliver, Grady Jarrett. Those are guys that he comps out with on mockdraftable.com. Now, excuse me. Born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, went to Altoona High School, the Mountain Lions, went to Penn State, so he was an East Coast guy before he joined the Niners, three-star recruit there, majored in criminology, all those things, and kind of, again, versatile is just what he's been. Was a defensive end and fullback in high school, and as a senior, first team All-State on defense and rushed for, you know, over 300 yards as a fullback, six touchdowns, which is awesome, and just kind of continued to grow. Goes to Penn State, played with a lot of quality defensive ends and put out a lot of different stuff. He received the Jim O'Hara Award for Penn State, which is given to the defensive player in Penn State for exemplary conduct, loyalty, interest, attitude, and improvement. Gotta like those things. And he's just been that guy. It's who he's been. You know, we've had Kinlaws and Armsteads and, you know, Buckners and all that kind of stuff. He came in the year Buckner left, but he's just been a staple. It's just what it is. Now, a rotational staple, I understand that. He's not going to start very many games and whatever. That's not what he does. But he is a developmental piece that just improves year after year after year. Now, one of the things, again, I'm always curious because like I labeled, like, this guy's going to work great against some teams and terrible against other teams. And you go and you just look at the snaps and the PFF grades. Last year alone, he had four games, 72 or above. And some of those games were like high 80 games, like played awesome. And four games, 40 or below. He's either great or he's bad. It's just what it is. He just gets the job done and he's out there. Now, the pass rush is kind of why he will be in the NFL for a long time, because he can come in, if you have the depth, to just put him out there and pass rushing downs. That's kind of what he does. Does he get a lot of sacks? No, but he is a huge disruptor, and he's cheap on the contract. He's signed a one-year, $2 million deal. So whenever you pepper the back end of your roster with guys like Kevin Givens, you're getting contribution out of value, and that's what he brings. Now, run defense, not his strength. At 285 pounds as a defensive tackle, that's somewhat to be expected. You got to put him in positions to be successful. But whenever you get stacked injuries at the defensive tackle position, and you're like, hey, Kevin Givens, you're supposed to be our pass rush guy, you got to go out there and hold down against duo and double teams. He'll do it. He just won't do it well. PFF grades last year, 56.9 overall. It's what you're getting with a $2 million a year player. 46.5 grade against run, that's bad. 67.1 against pass rush, that's great. 57.6 special teams, that's solid. For you get what you pay for, right? He's got his trait. And I always used to remember, like, at our coaching meetings when we're personneling all these players, it's like, what can he do? oh, coach, this guy can rush the passer. He can be disruptive. He can cause problems on the interior, especially for shorter quarterbacks. That's what he could do. Played against mobile quarterbacks. He's going to help you out a lot. All right, well, what do we got to watch out for? You don't want him getting double-teamed in the run game. Don't want that. It's going to go bad. Now, 458 snaps last year, 60 snaps special teams. It was his most career snaps that he's had so far, but now back-to-back years, 2022, 2023, over 400 defensive snaps. So that's a considerable chunk. He's out there getting some play time, about 40%. Did about 1,000 defensive snaps last year, so he's getting about 40% of those. Part of the rotation. Four straight years with at least 13 solo run stops and double-digit pressures. Consistently just does what he does. And I know somebody's like, wait a second, solo run stops? You just said he's bad against the run. Yeah, he's good against chasing stuff down and, you know, sometimes knifing through. But if it's a spread-type run game, he can have success. Power run game, he struggles. It's just kind of what it is. Now, undrafted free agent 2019, you look at his career, 79 tackles, 4.5 career sacks. Again, disruptor, not a finisher. 16 tackles for loss, that's pretty good. 12 quarterback hits, that's pretty good. One forced fumble, two fumble returns, three pass breakups. He's productive. Injuries, missed one game in 2021 with an ankle, missed three games in 2022 with a knee, played every single game last year, and signed that 1 year, $2 million, fully guaranteed. Fully guaranteed. This dude's getting every single penny of his paycheck, period. Started 13 games for the 99ers in his career, won last year, played in 57. Now, what is the best case scenario for him? To be that number three defensive tackle. Him and Jordan Elliott are going to be that Bravo unit, right? You've got Hargrave and you got Malik Collins. Those are your starters. You're going to rotate them out every kind of third series, and Kevin Givens and Jordan Elliott are going to be in there. So the 49ers usually keep six, sometimes five defensive tackles. So let's go through them. Hargrave, starter. Collins, starter, both locks. Elliott and Givens, that's your Bravo group, both locks. All four of those guys, contractually, you look at the guarantees and the deals they got, they're all making this roster. After that, it's a question mark. Kalia Davis, bigger dude. T.Y. McGill, Evan Anderson, bigger dude. Alex Barrett, hybrid guy that can kind of play everywhere. Shaquille Brown, bigger dude. Not a lot of competition here for Givens. Barrett and McGill, they're kind of the more in the Kevin Givens mold. But Kalia Davis, Evan Anderson, Shaquille Brown, that's more that D.J. Jones plugger. Kevin Givens making this roster. Kevin Givens going to get a lot of snaps. If he could step his game up just a little bit, learn to anchor just a little bit, not be such a liability in the run game, which is one of my biggest question marks of the 2024 49ers. Can that defense stop the inside power run? You lost Armstead. You lost Cleland Farrell. You lost Oren Burks. You know, Dre Greenlaw's injured. When is he going to come back? That's a lot of very positive run game players replaced by guys not notorious for how they play against the run. So we got to see. Kevin Givens, can you elevate your game at a time where the 49ers really need you? I hope he can. I hope he's a part of this team for a long haul. One of the longest tenure Niners, Kevin Givens. We're going to rely on you several times this year. And excited to see you play. Keep it up, number 90. And for us, we'll just keep counting them down. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard every week in September. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you could combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week one. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams one pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch. ranch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
Home Club for details.
Elijah Mitchell, he's been one of the most, I don't want to say polarizing, but with all the injuries that's happened in only his, you know, 3-year career, he's going into year four. Probably in the offseason, I get so many like, oh, let's trade or cut or move on from. But people forget what he was able to accomplish his rookie year. I mean, he stepped in through a lot of injuries, other players getting injured, and kind of seized the day and he's one of the Shanahan loyalty program members. Like, this guy, Kyle Shanahan loves him. Kyle Shanahan trusts him and is fine taking Christian McCaffrey off the field at times for small stints, but still giving the ball to Elijah Mitchell in very important situations. I mean, you can even look in the postseason. And on top of that, like, he was drafted late. This is, you know, somebody that was drafted in the sixth round that doesn't cost against the salary cap. He's basically a free player against the salary cap still on his rookie deal entering the last year. Like, he's not a cut candidate. Yeah, I always get like, oh, you know, you traded for Isaac Garrido, or you traded for Ty Davis Price or Trey Sermon or whatever. Like, yeah, it's probably Elijah Mitchell's last year. No, it's not. Now, this year probably is Elijah Mitchell's last year because it's the last year of his rookie deal. And his only chance to really get paid a significant payday will be after this year, probably with another team. But that does not mean the impact for the 2024 49ers season. They're going to rely on Elijah Mitchell. He's going to be the number two back. No matter how much I want Jordan Mason to be that guy, averaged over a yard per carry more in back-to-back years, Elijah Mitchell's still a beast. And Kyle Shanahan trusts him. And I don't think that's going to change for a rookie that they drafted in the fourth round. That's not happening. It's Christian McCaffrey, giant gap, Elijah Mitchell, giant gap, everybody else. And so that's why he comes in number 34 on our roster countdown list this year. Now, shout out to Josh, the executive producer of today's show. Now, if we look at, we've had Elijah Mitchell around for a while. Our first year was 2022 after his rookie year. He was going to be the starting running back. We had him at 20th. That's the high point. Last year, we had him 23. Now he's at 34. He's a high-end player that's not going to get a lot of reps, but can his reps, his touches matter like they have continued to do so? And can he finally stay healthy? Contract year, you got to prove to other teams he's going to get paid. You know, probably going to get like a $4 million deal for some other team next year, which is more than he's made his entire 4 years with the 49ers. But like, I could see him signing like a 1 year, $4 million deal to be part of a running back committee in Washington or whatever, you know. That's what's on stage for him. If he can stay healthy, if he can prove, man, dude, you play more than 12 games in a season, he's going to get paid. And I love betting on players in contract years because I love seeing people get paid. So Elijah Mitchell, I hope that it pans out. Now, let's go through his background and kind of what he's accomplished in his 3 years in the NFL. Where's jersey number 25? Love that. 5'10", 200 pounds, 26 years old. So he's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but in running back years, yeah, that's long in the tooth. Now, his compound workout was incredible. I can't believe he lasted to the sixth round. He ran a 4.3540. That's top 97 percentile of running backs. 1.51 10-yard split. That's 86th percentile of running backs. 6.93 cone. 37.5-inch vertical. 83 percentile for all running backs. Broad jump 10.8. That's 94%. 17 bench press reps. Like, this dude tested off the charts. You put in his measurables on mockdraftable.com. Listen to these comps. Travis Etienne, 73%. Breece Hall, 72%. Bijan Robinson, 72%. Jalen Wright, 70%. Like, he is an athlete, ladies and gentlemen. And he plays that way. He plays tough. He plays big. He plays really, really big for a 5'10", 200-pound back. And we'll play a clip later of Kyle Shanahan talking about how, yeah, he plays big. Here, we'll go to it now. Because you look at the measurables and you're like, wow, this dude's explosive. Then you watch the tape and you're like, wow, this is a big style bruising back. So here's Shanahan breaking down the play style of Elijah Mitchell.
Elijah is such an efficient runner. I mean, he doesn't mess around at all. He's going downhill. He creates edges on people and he's trying to go through people every play, which is why we like him so much. When you do that, and you're committed to that, sometimes you do leave some yards out there where you could have a little bit of a bigger play. But that's, I think, also why he has such a good yards per carry. But when you go out and you evaluate everything and you watch all the runs that you had, when you get a bunch of them, you do see places you can improve. And he had a couple big runs that could have been bigger. And I think that's what his goal is. You know, he has the 40 to do it. But he runs like he's a 230-pound big back, which is what makes him such a good runner. So it's trying to find, trying not to lose what has got him here, and then just add other elements to his game that his body's capable of doing.
Don't lose what got you here. The vertical running style, the tough running style. Yeah, his vision's not great, and you see him kind of bounce off and ping pong off, you know, pinball off his own blockers sometimes. Like, it's rough too, because you see Christian McCaffrey, who might have the greatest vision of any running back the past decade, and then you go to Elijah Mitchell, vision's not his strong suit. You see just how much of a difference that is. But I can tell you this, Elijah Mitchell's faster than Christian McCaffrey. Elijah Mitchell runs way more physically imposing than Christian McCaffrey. Is he better than Christian McCaffrey? No, not probably at almost anything, but there are some traits that he has that are superior. Should Elijah Mitchell be a starting running back in the NFL? I think he's probably in that like 31 to 40 range of running backs. Like if you had to rank all the running backs in the NFL, I mean, shoot, Ezekiel Elliott is starting in today's NFL. He's way better than him. He's better than like the Raiders, right? Who they got, Zonovan Knight or whatever. Yeah, I'm putting Elijah Mitchell ahead of those guys. And I think he'll be in competition for his next job probably. I doubt the Niners keep him with cheap options like Jordan Mason, who is basically Elijah Mitchell but bigger. And, you know, trading up for Isaac Garrido. Like, I think that's kind of the way they're going to move, especially paying Christian McCaffrey even more. Now, his journey to the NFL is a fun one. He's from Erath High School, the Bobcats, baby. General studies major. He's a two-star recruit. Went to Louisiana, and he's from southern Louisiana. Country. And, like, his high school coach talked about how he was the type of guy that would show up to the weight room in boots. Like work boots and farm boots. Like, hey, that's just kind of who he was. We had the pleasure. We had Elijah Mitchell to our draft party back in, I think it was 2021, right after his rookie year. And he was awesome. A lot of fun being around. He was great with my kids. It just had such a cool personality, you know. I mean, you could just tell he was a cool dude and was very thankful to be there. And he loved the fans and all this. Like, it was just cool. He's a great, great guy. You look at the accolades that he got. He was, you know, first team all Sun Belt, first team all Louisiana growing up, all these different whatever. He had a career average of 9 yards per carry and a touchdown every nine carries in high school. Like, the dude just dominated. He's got four brothers. Got pushed into a starting role his rookie year because of all the injuries, but then he got hurt. Then you get Christian McCaffrey, the trade happens, and you got this 1-2 punch, but then he still keeps getting hurt as the number two changeup guy. And the health has been an issue for a long time. All the way back in high school, health was an issue, and that's part of the reason why he went to Louisiana, and it's part of the reason why he got drafted in the sixth round, and it's part of the reason why he's not a guaranteed starter in today's NFL. The tape says he can be. He can be. He's never fumbled. He doesn't have negative plays. His only negative is that he gets more 7-yard gains than 15-yard gains, if that makes sense. Like, he leaves a little bit of icing on the cake whenever he gets to that second level, but that's the negative on him. His catch rate, I think, was 88 percentile. He's not known as a receiving back, but, you know, that his rookie year, he went out there and had 19 of 20 catches, you know, on 20 targets. So you're not losing in the receiving game. He's just a little tight-hipped, but he's got good hands. Now, here's the thing, okay? This is probably his last year with the Niners. Probably last year. And I'm not saying that like, yay, I'm glad we're whatever. It's just the contract's expiring, the value that he brings through the salary cap and the rookie deal, that's off the table after this year. Now, if he can stay healthy, he'll get paid. But even more importantly, and what we're here for, if he stays healthy, he could legitimately help the 49ers. I mean, 70.1 overall grade, good. 71.7 rushing, good. 52.4 receiving, yeah. 18 forced missed tackles. This dude is creating on his own above what the line is giving him. And he's never fumbled. The negatives just aren't there. And that's, You want to piss off a coach, and I've been guilty of this on both sides. Man, you fumble that ball, your coach is, they're going to curse your grandparents. And so to not have those negative, you remember Matt Breida and how much Shanahan loved him. Then he like fumbled three times in two games. It was like, you'll never play for me again. Jeff Wilson Jr., he fumbled. Guess what? We're trading you. It's with Elijah Mitchell, you don't have that. Now, 161 snaps last year, not many. And that's playing a full game with Christian McCaffrey out in week 17. Only 80 offensive snaps, the year before. So here's his numbers last year. 75 attempts, 281 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 receptions, 14 yards. Now, man, you look at, okay, let's go through his rookie year, sophomore year compared to last year. Drafted 6th round, 10th pick. You drafted behind Trey Sermon. You know, they trade up for Trey Sermon. He beat him out. Next year, they draft Ty Davis Price, beats him out. Now they trade up for Isaac Garrido. I don't really think there's competition for this year there, but, you know, whatever. His rookie year, 963 rush yards, almost hit 1,000. 5 rushing touchdowns, 19 receptions. Then his sophomore year, 2022, 279 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not good. Basically, copy and pasted that, because he goes 2022 from 279 and 2 touchdowns to 2023, 281 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's like the same thing, but he can provide so much more than that. He just can't stay on the damn field. He's missed 20-plus games in 3 years. 20-plus. So one full season, and the Niners always play like 20 games because they're in the NFC Championship or better, or they get the bye week and then they go to the Super Bowl. That dude's missed one-third of the time in 3 short years. You can't have that. Best ability? Availability. Now, here's the question. Why is he always hurt? I always struggle with injury prone. That term pisses me off. Like, people like break their arm and then they'll have like a torn ACL or something, right? And I'll get all these comments, oh, the player's injury prone. And I'm like, yeah, but are you injury prone if you're making a tackle and somebody puts their helmet on your forearm and it snaps in half? Like, what's he supposed to do? Drink more milk? Like 20 years ago? Like, injuries happen in football. 100% injury rate. So why is he always hurt? Well, Kyle Shanahan tried to answer that, and it's a journey that he goes on, but I think there's a lot of truth to it because I do think that injury prone is a thing. I'm not quite sure some of the injuries for Elijah Mitchell fall under that category, however, and I think Kyle agrees.
No, I mean, we're trying to work everything with him. I mean, Elijah's extremely good back, and he's had some unfortunate things with injuries. He is a very physical runner, but you don't strain your abductor because you're running physically. So there's, you know, I think all of our runners are pretty physical. Sometimes that can happen, but, you know, his bad injury last year, he had his foot in the ground and someone hit his knee. I think it was his MCL. So it's, you can't change your style. That's also what makes him great. I don't always think that's what's getting him hurt either. But he has had some muscle strains and stuff. And I think he got hurt on the exact same day last year in camp. It'll probably help him to be out here about a week and a half, most likely. But, Elijah does everything right. He's been unfortunate with it. So hopefully we can find the secret remedy.
Yeah, they didn't find it last year. That was before training camp. That was during training camp last year. Hopefully they find it this year. But, like, listen to these injuries, okay? Concussion, all right, that's NFL. The knee MCL he talked about. Hamstring, all right. Now that falls – hamstring injuries piss me off more than anything as a coach, because if you are hydrated – and you're warmed up and stretched properly, the hamstring should be fine. Should be. There's a reason, like, that's a soft tissue injury. You get more than one of those, it's a red flag. Finger, this is somebody that's pulled his hamstring several times, my fat self, but I'm not a pro athlete. Finger injury, all right, somebody's helmet, whatever, you're running back, you got to carry the ball. Shoulder, that's running too physical. And then last year, knee injury. So try to find a common theme through all those. It's almost impossible. Some of it's just football. Some of it's bad luck. But soft tissue injuries, those, I'm not saying they're always on the player, but when they keep happening that many in 3 years, yikes. That's huge. Now, He has. I talked earlier about how he's basically a salary cap free player. He had a 4-year, $3.6 million deal, which is slotted to a 6-round pick. He's making less than $1 million a year. He's made $2.3 million in the 3 years he's been with the Niners. This year, again, it costs nothing. Costs nothing to keep him on your 53-man roster. Doesn't count against the 51 sub cap. That's not there. Now, he's played in 112 games. That number's off. Sorry about that. Carry over from the last part. He's played 27 games in his career. He's missed 20. That's an issue. Now, you look at the running back depth chart, right? Christian McCaffrey, lock. Elijah Mitchell's lock. Kyle Juszczyk's a lock because he redid his deal. You traded up for Isaac Garrido, lock. Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason's going to be Elijah Mitchell 2.0 next year. Those guys are all locks. There's no room. Unless there's an injury. Then you got undrafted Cody Schrader, and you got vet backup Patrick Taylor. This running back room is set. You're set down to practice squad, and if there's an injury, maybe Cody Schrader gets bumped up or Patrick Taylor, whatever. They are set. And the way that they've staggered, now this is looking ahead, last year for Elijah Mitchell, 2024. Last year for Jordan Mason, 2025. Then you got Isaac Garrido stepping in there. The constant is CMC and Kyle Juszczyk. Kyle Juszczyk got 2 years left, but doesn't really affect any of this. Elijah Mitchell is going to be the guy, and I fully expect way more trade questions. You know, what happens if you get to the trade deadline and Isaac Garrido has taken steps to earn some type of playtime? Or to at least compete with Jordan Mason or Elijah Mitchell. Well, then I think you do what you did with Jeff Wilson. Everybody wants Shanahan running backs. There's going to be injuries across the thing, and you could trade Elijah Mitchell at those points. It's hard to do that and balance whenever you're in a Super Bowl competitive year, and Kyle Shanahan trusts Elijah Mitchell so much. So I doubt that it happens, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. But one thing I tell you for certain, they are not trading Elijah Mitchell during training camp. They are not. Even if a team offered a fourth-round pick, which would be a steal, you got a fifth for Jeff Wilson somehow. I have no clue how that happened. And I like Jeff Wilson, but they massively overpaid. Even if somebody offered like a fourth-round pick for Elijah Mitchell, I doubt the Niners would take it because Shanahan says, man, I trust him. What if CMC gets hurt? What if? And Elijah Mitchell's proven he can play starter-level reps in this system. Is he CMC? Nobody is. But you can do something with this dude. So Elijah Mitchell, fun player and kind of a polarizing player, not because people don't like him. They don't like the injuries. But I hope he stays healthy this year. And I hope he gets more carries. Yeah, you know, you look at, again, last year, 75 attempts for 281 yards. I want Elijah Mitchell to get about 120 carries this year. I really do. Now, okay, that's 50 more carries. You're taking carries away from Christian McCaffrey? I am. I really am. I want Christian McCaffrey to get more receptions and targets, not fewer snaps, but fewer carries, if that makes sense. Especially in those fourth quarters when we're up by more than a score and we're trying to ice the game. That's what Elijah Mitchell's for. That is where you use your thumper. That is where you use your backup. And that is where I want those, you know, snaps and carries to come from. Just use a little bit more. But if he stays healthy, he's obviously going to get more carries because he'll be involved more. But yeah, I don't want CMC out there and wear and tear, you know, ice the game away situations. That's Elijah Mitchell. That's JP Mason. So Elijah Mitchell, keep doing your thing, man. I hope you stay healthy and I hope you get paid big time. Help out that compensation pick formula for next year for the 49ers. But I think he's got more work to do for us, and that's going to take place this year in 2024. And that's why he's the number 34 player on our roster countdown this year. I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the 49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So there's a few things that I consider to be staples of the 49ers Rush podcast, whatever show, YouTube, content creator, whatever the heck you want to call us. And a lot of that is, you know, the two foundations: building more knowledgeable fans so that they can enjoy the 49ers experience, whatever that is, and two, being positive. Now, I'm human, obviously, the worst of which a lot of times. And, you know, I don't want to just be, you know, just a rubber stamp and just be gung-ho 49ers all the time. Like, there are things I am critical of, and I try to voice those consistently. But I remember there was a time when I posted, like, a very negative football clip, and I just cut it, no context, showed it, and I was like, this is terrible, and it picked up traction. It got millions and millions of, you know, social media, whatever, and I just felt awful. I was like, man, like, I don't want to be that guy. And so I've tried really, really hard to be much more positive and, you know, pay attention to good things, not necessarily just the bad things. Now, having said that, sometimes I don't achieve that goal. And I think with Jake Moody, when the 49ers picked him in the third round last year, I was beyond disgusted. Not because of Jake Moody. I think Jake Moody's a good kicker. And again, this isn't going to be like a hit job by any stretch. But I do think Jake Moody's the kicker of the future, and I think that he's a good kicker of the future. And I think the 49ers, you know, in that position, you don't have to worry about that for at least 3 years. We'll see when the rookie contract ends and all those things. But there's a lot to like about Jake Moody. Now, the misappropriation of funds and draft capital, I'm never going to get past. That's not a Jake Moody slam. It's a kicker slam. And I understand kickers are people too, but third-round picks should never be used on a kicker ever, even if they are the best ever. You go back to Seabass. It was a first-round pick, and they almost cut him a year later. Eventually turned out to be incredible, but still never worth a first-round pick. And I'm glad Jake Moody's on this team. I think he's a good player. Last year on the countdown, he came in 37. This year, he's at 33. So he's increased his, you know, ranking. His highest ranking was 32. His lowest ranking was 38. Shout out to Josh, the producer of today's episode. And I'm excited to see what Jake brings into 2024. He's, you know, his best and his worst were all in the playoffs. He missed a kick in every single playoff game, including the Super Bowl. Two field goals and an extra point. I know somebody's listening to this like, oh, but would the extra point was blocked. Why was it blocked? Go ahead. Tell us why it was blocked. Go watch the replay. The ball barely got 5 feet off the ground. It was all Jake Moody's fault. 100 perfect hold, perfect snap. Yeah, it was blocked, so it's not a quote-unquote missed field goal. It's a missed field goal. 100% on Jake Moody and nobody else. Even the trajectory, while it was super low, that thing would have missed the uprights by about 20 yards, it seemed like. Maybe it was going to adjust or whatever, but it was indoors. So, you know, you don't go through three playoff games, miss a kick in the divisional round, miss a kick in the NFC Championship, miss a kick in the Super Bowl that goes to overtime. Like, that hurts. But my favorite thing is that he had the 53-yarder with under 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl that he just nailed. And whenever I say, like, he nailed it, that dude nailed it. Like, that kick would have been good from probably like 68 yards. I mean, it was right down the middle, had another 15 yards on it. It was the best kick of this kid's career. And so to walk off, and then he made another one in overtime. It was like a 27-yarder. It was a short one. But so there's a lot to build on. And I think that he had a good year. I don't think it was a great year. It was a slightly above average for NFL kickers, slightly. And so, again, you're the second highest picked kicker in a decade. Slightly above average, not good. Right? Like, that's replacement level. And, like, there's guys, Chase McLaughlin and whatever. Like, you keep going on and on through all these names that had better years that were on our rosters. Now, I'm not big into the Robbie Gold whatever. I thought we held on to Robbie longer than we should have, but he has been amazing in the playoffs. Never missed a playoff field goal, whereas Jake Moody, he's already missed three kicks in three playoff games. And so, like, that's the difference. Now, I think Jake Moody's best asset is the leg, the length of the field goals that he can make. And, you know, we're going to go through and we're going to kind of show the makes, miss percentages, ranks for every level tier of, you know, field goals made. But let's dive into just kind of who he is, what he brings to the table, and the background to what Jake Moody is. 6'1", 210, wears jersey number 4, 24 years old, young guy. He's going into his second season. Michigan kid, born and bred, Northville High School in Northville, Michigan. Parents are diehard Lions fans. You know, he played for Michigan, all that kind of stuff. Was a kinesiology and sports management major at Michigan, which is awesome. 5-star recruit in kicking magazines. I don't usually read kicking magazines, but was great for Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, he had that famous quote, "Death, taxes, and Jake Moody." Nah, it wasn't really that his rookie year, but I'm hoping he gets kind of past that. And, you know, he's Michigan's first ever Lou Groza Award winner, was a 2-time finalist. You know, he's Michigan's first ever Big Ten Kicker of the Year, did it twice. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on. He was incredible in college. There's no doubt about it. But that does not carry over to the NFL. Now, 5-year letterman, this sticks with the man. He's got a lot of experience, National Honor Society. He was, you know, all academic Big Ten 4 years in a row. Like, you love those things. All those things are huge, but you've got to bring this over to the NFL. And most fans were not happy at all, myself included. Shout out to my man, Brian Carter 99. We were live for the draft when they announced the pick, and you could see our face. If you're watching on YouTube, I have the still shot, which a listener sent to us. You could tell we were not happy. And again, not trying to fault Jake Moody, the 49ers had a lot of value on the board. This is a third round pick. It's number 99 overall. This is a top 100 pick. And, you know, John Lynch and them come out and like, yeah, well, at least we didn't pick a running back, which I thought was funny. I like it when Kyle jokes when we're really, really mad. But I do the same thing to my wife when we argue. Like, it's like we're in a dead argument. And, like, she's all riled up. Like, I'm throwing a joke in there, and it's going to end poorly, but I can't help it. I'm not going to miss an opportunity for a joke. And that's kind of what Kyle gaslights the 49ers fans whenever they get to, hey, at least we didn't pick a running back. But man, like it's, I like Jake Moody. I'm glad that he is our kicker. I'm excited for the potential. He could be the best kicker in the NFL. He's just got to get consistency. His leg placement is terrible next to the ball, and he is just not consistent. At least he wasn't last year. Now, and here's why I went back and just looked through the draft, just like quick, and some of these guys I'm all, these are all guys who could possibly compete for a starting job that were picked after Jake Moody. Now, I understand that's a huge selection pool that we're pulling from, right? He's picked 99. There's like 260 picks, so I get that. But listen to all these position players, starters, that were picked after him in no particular order. I just went through and basically filtered by, you know, playing time and contribution with guys that might start next year. Or 2024 in the NFL. Puka Nacua, Dontavian Nix, Blake Freeland, DeJuan Jones, Anthony Bradford, Roschon Johnson, Sidy Sal, Henry Tototo, Trey Palmer, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Jones, Trey Tucker, Chamari Connor, Chase Brown, Dante Stills, Carrington Valentine, all kind of premium positions. You go in the following year, you draft a first and fourth round wide receiver. Man, you still had Puka Nacua, Dontavian Wicks. I mean... Trey Palmer, DeMario Douglas, Trey Tucker, all those guys would be starting for us. But now that first round pick that you used on Ricky Pearsall, not saying I don't want Ricky Pearsall. I'm just saying kickers, you can pick them up at any time. Freaking team just picked up a guy that hit back-to-back 60-yard field goals for free Didn't even cost a draft pick. It's so the misuse of draft capital will always be in the back of my mind. And I think a lot of fans' minds. That doesn't mean we don't like Jake Moody. It just means, come on, man. Like, so many players. There's so many players on this list that's just like, oh, man. We could totally use them. Not to say we can't use Jake Moody, but whatever. All right. Now, let's go through his year, okay? PFF grades last year, 68.0 field goal, not good. 45.9 kickoffs, terrible. Terrible. And the funny thing is, it even makes the pick look worse now because they changed the NFL kickoff rules. The 49ers were one of three teams to vote against it because you drafted Jake Moody because he was supposed to help you with kickoffs and touchbacks. And now they changed the rule. So now you can't do that. All right, you can do it, but they get the ball at the 30 automatically. So that's 5 yards per kickoff, less value. And he might not even win that job because he's so inconsistent over our punter, Mitch. So we'll have to see what that is. Had a 60% touchback rating last year, which was terrible. And that's after he had a couple very bad short kicks and that were returned for a huge thing because our kickoff coverage is abysmal. It's so terrible. And everybody like on social media was like, oh, the coaches are telling him to do that. The coaches are telling him to do these short squib kicks. And then Kyle Shanahan gets up there and goes, nope, that's supposed to be a touchback. We don't know what happened. And so like the inconsistency and like his misses even at the field goal, when he misses, he misses. It's not like they're like he's got some like, woo, like you way off. It's not like you sliced it or hooked it a little. No. You're out of bounds, you know? And so like that's an issue. You know, teams against us, their average starting field position is 25.7. That's going to go up this year with the new kickoff rule. We'll see what happens. He scored 123 points last season. Now the postseason, again, better. 72.5 on field goals. His degree of difficulty for field goals went up, and Shanahan trusted him, and he delivered. 71.3 kickoff, better. Now, again, did miss a kick in all three playoff games. Missed one game-winning field goal against the Browns. That one hurt big time. That started the five-game slide. That started the Brock Purdy narrative of can't play in the rain, blah, blah, blah. Brock Purdy did everything that he could to get that team back to win. Brandon Ayuk had his worst game of his career, still did enough without Debo to get us down there to win the game. Talk about changing narratives if that kid makes that kick. Man, would have started 6-0. It probably didn't weigh too heavy on the season, but the narrative started there. Would have won Week 18 against the Rams, the game that didn't matter where everybody sat everybody. He missed a, you know, field goal in the second quarter, ended up losing by 1 point. The game didn't really matter to anybody but McVay, but, you know, he bets on those games, so yeah, that's what that is. Somebody gets that joke. Missed two field goals in the, you know, the Packers and Lions. We talked about that, the extra point, talked about that, but did break the Super Bowl record for, you know, kick that was made. You know, the field goal kick that was made, 53 yards, was incredible. But Harrison Butker goes and breaks that record after that. So he doesn't hold the longest kick in Super Bowl history any longer. But, you know, did hit that kick in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. Did hit the kick in overtime. So a lot of positives to build on. Now, before I go through and just break down his percentage on every single kind of kick from, you know, 20 to 30 yards, 30 to 40 yards, so on and so forth. Let's listen to the 49ers special teams coach. This is a quick 2-minute video. I like it. It's really, really good. Just kind of summarizing Jake Moody's rookie year and what he's excited to look forward to going forward.
Second question, Jake. Yeah, it was really cool going through the whole season with Jake. You know, to get Jake away and have him process it through the film. And really, I asked him to do it, what was going on in the week. What was going on in your life, you know, what happened, put it all together on your own. And then we came back, you know, with Pepper and Mitch and all the coaches. And it was really cool just to process it all. Mitch has been a great mentor to him. And when we get through it, three things really came out that were really clear. Number one, it was a tremendous learning experience. He had so many things come up, game situation, all those things. And when you're talking about a rookie, you try to prepare him the best you can. And just things happen when you play the game. So, number one, the lessons that he learned and the situation was wonderful for him to set a base. The second thing that really stood out, he always responded to adversity, which to me is that's what kickers have to be. And we're trying to close down the adversity, but that's what is impressive with me. Late in the season, too, and even the Super Bowl, and that's like leading up to everything, all rookies, that first year is hard. And when you take a kicker, he finished his season, he goes right to working out, he goes right to the combine, he has individual workouts, his leg is shot, he comes right to here. So monitoring how much we kick and always paranoid that you're not getting enough is a fine line. So you walk that dance all year. But he, and ultimately, he's built for this. And I say that because of the Super Bowl. He was so fired up in that game, so excited. I mean, that stage he excelled on. And, you know, he had the 55 record right off the bat. That was broken. And we missed an extra point in there, which was really affected the game. But to see him come back and with a minute 57, hit the, I think it was a 53-yarder. And when you look, that was his best kick of the year. So, to me, I know exactly who he is because I'm around him every day. And
I like it. You look at these positives and how he's kind of coming off the Super Bowl. I really hope he just picks up and kind of carries that on. Now, if we look at what he did all year, extra points, he was great. 68 out of 70. Obviously, the one in the Super Bowl is huge. That's 97%, which 17th best in the NFL, right? There's 32 teams, 32 kickers. He's average. Like 97% is good, but that's average. Field goals attempts, 81.8%. That's 27th best. That's bottom five. That's bottom five in the NFL. That's not good. That's not good. Field goals in 20-yard range. So 20 to 29 yards, 7 for 7, 100%. Great. Tied for first. 30 to 39-yard field goals, 9 out of 10. That's 90%. There are 25 kickers in the NFL that were 100%. He missed one, so it's not the end of the world. But again, 25, more than half the league, 100%. 29th for Moody, bottom three. 40 to 49, 5 of 9. 55%, 0.6. That's 30th best. 40-yard field goals, right? And so I think a big reason why fans get so mad is that's where Robbie Gould was great. That was his range, 40 yards. I can make 40-yard field goals. And so you're switching somebody that always made them to somebody that, man, just over 50%, which is terrible. But then the difference is the 50-plus yard field goals. This is an added thing that you never got with Robbie Gould. In fact, you couldn't even attempt a field goal if you didn't get past the 30-yard line. Add the 17 or 18 yards for a kick, blah, blah, blah. Like, you had to punt or go for it. Well, you know, he's 5 for 6 on 50-plus yard field goals. 83.3%. He's better at 50-yarders than he is at 40-yarders. Makes no sense. Hopefully that change. That's 8th best in the NFL. The long kicks are his special trait. Chicks dig the long ball. Shout out to the Sports Center commercial with Greg Maddux and Tom Glavin. One of my favorite commercials of all time. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. 90, come on, 90 Sports Center? Somebody? So, like you can see, the length of field goals is a weapon. And you used that in the Super Bowl. That was huge. Played in all 20 games. You know, Jake Moody is the kicker of the future. He's just got to get more consistent at the routine things. Kickoffs, 40-yard field goals. If he doesn't even increase at a lot of the other areas, I don't care. Just the 40-yard field goals, those are the ones where it's like, you got to work here. And if I was Brian Snyder, let's say we kick 50, we're not going to kick 50 field goals in practice, but let's say you kick 20 field goals in practice, 12 better be in the 40-yard range every single time. The other 8, cool, you can take a couple long ones, take a couple short ones. You got to improve 40-yard field goals, and I think that's the measuring stick for Jake Moody. That's what you got to do. So excited to have this kid. And again, the negativity isn't on Jake. It's on the position and the draft capital. Glad to have him. If you would have drafted Jake Moody with the sixth rounder, which he would not have been available then, and if that's the case, you go get somebody else. I would have been mad about that either. But I'm excited for him. Hopefully he becomes the best kicker ever. Ray Wershing is by far the best. You got Nedney. You got a lot of great kickers. The 49ers have had a lot. Jake Moody drafted way higher than almost all of them. So hopefully he can go and seize that opportunity and become a 49ers legend in his own right. Nothing would make me happier. So enjoy this. Jake Moody comes in at 33. And for us, we'll just keep counting them down. All right. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.